There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for another Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Alex Hagen, the lead singer and rhythm guitarist in The Ravagers from Baltimore, Maryland. They've been active for nearly 10 years, and their latest single is called Down That Road. It's out on Spaghetti Town Records. It's also a recent coolest song in the world, and we'll hear a bit of it now, followed by my chat with Alex Hagen on your Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Yeah. Conversations time here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and I've got Alex Hagen from the Baltimore, Maryland band The Ravagers with me today. He's the group's lead singer, rhythm guitarist. How are you, Alex?
I'm great, Manfred. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and I'm very happy to get a chance to chat with you today, man. First off, tell me, what were your pandemic adventures like? Were you like holed up with a bandmate, or what was going on with you for the past year?
Well, luckily, I live with my girlfriend. She's awesome. And we got really good at cooking. We just watched a lot of TV and hung out inside. You know, I did use that opportunity to work on my record and to write as much music as I could. It's interesting because right before all of that started, we started recording our record. And it was at the first week of March 2020, right before things started getting really bad. We had flown down to Atlanta to start recording with Tuck and Dan Dixon down there. And I remember walking out of the studio and they were saying, oh yeah, they just canceled South by Southwest. Like, this is a real deal. Like, things are not going well right now. Yeah. And it was pretty bad. Shortly after that, we got home and everything went into lockdown. But I'm glad things are finally getting better now. And we're able to go out again.
You mentioned going down, and we're going to talk more about this, but just to make it clear to folks tuning in, you mentioned Tuck Smith, and he, a former frontman for the Biters, he's still active there in the Atlanta music scene a lot, and he produced the new single and the new album. But there's one thing I want to ask you before we move on that I was interested in when you were talking about you and your girlfriend doing a lot of cooking. Yeah. Tell me, what was the favorite dish? What was the one thing that you guys would go to again and again, something that you wouldn't have expected?
Oh, man. Well, we got one of those Instapot pressure cookers, and we got a cookbook with it. So it was something new every week, you know, and I think that was awesome. We went back to a couple of them, but I don't know, barbecue ribs. We were eating lots of meat, which is, you know.
It's like a pressure cooker thing, not a crock pot, but
it's like a crock pot that cooks extra fast. So instead of taking all day to cook, it takes like a 15 minutes to an hour.
And you can put like a chicken in there, right?
You sure can. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. So yeah, I made chicken noodle soup. I made my own chicken noodle soup.
Cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, so the band I know is based in Baltimore. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Baltimore originally. Okay. My father was in the Army and the Air Force, so I moved around a lot, but I always came home to Baltimore. This was my home base and where my family's from.
Well, let me ask you about Baltimore. Is it like when you're there and you put up with all the, you know, the crap that's in Baltimore, you kind of feel like, well, that's something you have to deal with. But what if somebody else bitches and complains about Baltimore? I mean, do they have the right to do that, or do you have to stand straight?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you only have the right to bitch about Baltimore if you live in Baltimore, because if you don't, then you're just, you know, you're trusting what other people, what the media says about Baltimore. And right. Yeah, it's pretty gnarly here, but it's awesome at the same time. And that's why I live here. And when I go on tour and I travel, sometimes people, they have the wrong idea. And they're like, why do you live there? Why don't you move to Austin, dude? I'm like, because, dude, it's too expensive, man. I'd rather stay in Baltimore and be able to continue to make art and afford to live in my house.
Well, I hear you about that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's also geographically, it's in a cool place, you know. I mean, you can, you know, it's just on the outside rim of getting down to the south, but you can easily get up into the north, and you can head over into the Midwest pretty well too.
Yeah,
like for a touring band, that's a pretty good
absolutely
place to be based in. And as you said, you can afford it. So you always called it home. When did you start playing guitar?
Ooh, well, I started playing guitar in high school, I guess. I've started playing bass guitar first. And before that, I was playing the upright bass as a child in school in the orchestra. So I learned my way around the fingerboard back then and joined jazz band as soon as I could so I could play an electric bass.
Uh-huh. And what was interest in music then? What got you started interest in playing instruments? Was that your family had sort of a musical history to it?
Yeah, well, my family, they didn't play music, but my parents were really young and they listened to a lot of like good music during the 90s, all the modern stuff that was coming out, the new music at the time.
Yeah.
And I grew up listening to that stuff, and I heard bands like when punk blew up kind of in the 90s with bands like Green Day and The Offspring and stuff. And at a really early age, I heard that stuff and I gravitated towards it. And I liked the attitude and I liked the way the guitar sounded. And I wanted to find somebody that had an electric guitar so bad. It didn't happen till later.
So what was your first guitar?
My first guitar, it was probably a Silvertone electric bass that came in one of those $100 Sam's Club starter packs.
Yeah.
And I played that forever in high school. And then, but my first guitar, though, that was probably my mom's old classical guitar that had nylon strings on it. Okay. And that was just always in our house. And I learned how to play power chords on that. And it just went from there. And I started figuring out songs from the music that I got into later in high school was more of like hardcore punk and, you know, Black Flag and Misfits and stuff like that. And I started figuring out that music on this guitar and I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I can do this.
One more question along those lines. You mentioned the sound of guitar and really liking, you know, guitar sounds, electric guitar sounds. What was your first amp?
Oh, my first guitar amp. You know, I didn't get a real guitar amp until I was 21, I think. Mm-hmm. But my first amp before that was a Roland Microcube. It's like a battery powered practice amp.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking Microcube.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a bunch of little wacky settings on it and stuff, like built in effects. And there's a delay and a reverb and like a flanger on it. And you can choose between a Britpop sound or like a classic Marshall stack sound. But
so what sound did you choose?
Yeah. I stayed on the classic stack.
Yeah, that's what I was going to.
That was my go-to. Yeah,
you mentioned some of these influences, or you know, what hardcore stuff, and you were listening to. I think you mentioned Black Flag just a moment ago.
Yeah,
was reading over like a one sheet for the band. It was talking about like the Dead Boys, and I can't think of some other names they were dropping.
Yeah, that was kind of
my main influence for the band were all of the New York wave of punk that came out of CBGB's and you know, Ramones and Dead Boys and stuff like that.
Well, I'm getting at here is, what do you think of that debut album from the Dead Boys, A Young, Loud and Snotty?
Oh, it's awesome.
Reason I'm asking this is that the woman that produced it, Ganya Raven, is a DJ here in the Underground Garage. And I was wondering.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. That's crazy.
So I needed to plug her there because I agree.
I want to ask her questions about that.
Well, I will put you in touch.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So our coolest song in the world this week is your latest single, Down That Road. On guitar is Matt Gabbs, who used to play in Atlanta, Georgia's Biters. And that single also produced, and we've already mentioned, but Tuck Smith, bring up his name again. And he was Matt's bandmate in the Biters. But first, before Matt signed on to the band, I mean, you guys have been around close to 10 years. Tell me about the band actually forming. Why did you guys get together? How did this all happen?
So, we started around 2013, maybe a year earlier, but I wanted to join a band and play this style of music. And there were no bands in Baltimore. Everything was black metal and stuff like that. So I was like, well, I have to sing. I have to write my own music. And it's time to pick up a guitar. So I was living with Matt Gabbs at the time, who now plays in the band. This is before he joined the Biters. And he is from Baltimore. So he was playing in a band that I liked a lot called the Fishnet Stalkers in Baltimore. And I was showing him, you know, this is what I know how to play guitar, man. This is, these are the notes that I know or whatever. I would show him some songs and he would listen to them and be like, okay, man, well, why don't you play a minor chord there? You know, I just kind of, I started playing guitar and started writing my own songs and found my other friends who joined the band, got them to play with me. And, it went from there.
And what brought Matt back into the lineup officially?
So Matt was always kind of in the band. Like, he was behind the scenes. He was in the studio every time we recorded and, he, you know, making sure things sounded right. And, after the Biters split up, Matt, my guitar player, just left the band. So we had went through a revolving lineup of like three guitar players. Mm-hmm. They all left for different reasons. And, I always just wanted to play with Matt. And, finally,
you said,
agreed.
Said, come home, Matt, come home.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see him much cause he was always on tour with Biters and stuff. But when he was home, we would hang out and talk about music. And finally, yeah, that band fell apart because of, you know, their legal problems with the label and this and that. And, Matt was just down to play some music, play some punk and rock with me. So I'm really grateful for that. He's one of my best friends and we've been able to make it work.
So is it because of your relationship with Matt that it was like a no-brainer to get Tuck Smith involved?
Well, Tuck's always been a friend of mine too.
Okay.
And I met Tuck through Matt before when we were all in other bands. And, I started going down to Atlanta with Matt just as a buddy to hang out. And, I did touring with the Biters and I knew Tuck because I did artwork for the Biters. I did all of their album covers and
did you come up with the idea of this? Didn't they have like this, like Three Eyed Tiger thing?
Yeah, that was a basic, that was Tuck's concept. And okay. I took what he envisioned and I helped him make it a cool looking thing. So
you're a graphic artist too?
I am. Yeah. Yeah. So that was my main career path was graphic design. And, it still is. That's what I do for a living besides play punk music.
Wow. Very cool. Well, let's talk some about Down That Road.
Cool.
The single, the notes I have said that you wrote it with Tuck, or he's credited as well. Tell me how the song came together. Who came up with the initial idea? How'd you write it?
Well, during lockdown, I was coming up with a lot of song ideas, and I knew Tuck was going to produce the album. He had been asking me for years, like, come on, man, let me produce your album. And I was like, finally, oh, all right, let's do it. Let's do it. And
By the way, I like your impersonation of him there. That was pretty good. That's pretty spot on. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been around that dude a lot, so I've got it down anyways. Yeah. So he was kind of pushing me to write outside my comfort zone. And he's like, yo, if we're going to do a whole album, like let's try some stuff with this. Let's go in some different directions. Let's make a dynamic album. And I was like, yeah, let's try to broaden our range here. And I'm going to try to write a slower song. I'm going to try to write a fast song and just to keep things fresh on the record. And Down That Road was one of the first songs I wrote for the second session that we recorded the album in. It's loosely based on being an eyewitness to a homicide or crime scene in the city and like frustration that comes along with it. And those were the lyrics that I
there in Baltimore and some, you've been in some sketchy areas and stuff. Have you ever witnessed this?
Yeah, I've had a couple gnarly experiences. So, yeah, there was one night when me and my girlfriend, Shelly, were watching TV and heard gunshots right outside the house. And we ran downstairs and there's a guy laying in the street. So I had to call 911 and the cops got there. We had to like talk to the cops and they were like they were like cracking jokes and stuff. It was pretty depressing. And yeah, my girlfriend actually saw the dudes that did it and had to do like a crime scene sketch and all this crazy stuff. And yeah, it's pretty brutal. So the song is like kind of like a reflection of like what it's like to see something like that and and then like revisit that location. In Baltimore, you're always, you know, driving down the same streets over and over again. And when there's something traumatic that has happened like that, you never forget it. And you always see it and you're like, okay, cool, there, it happened right there. You know, so.
And how was your girlfriend later on? I mean, was this like something that was kind of haunting her for a long while?
I really don't know. She was okay. And she handles everything really well. She's from Denver and she moved here from Baltimore. And yeah, it's, you see some real stuff when you live in Baltimore. But it's also a great city. And that's kind of what you sign up for.
Right. In fact, I was thinking about my times there in Baltimore. We played the auto bar a couple of times. But this was like, it was literally just a hole in the wall, you know?
Yeah.
Later on, it was like, So one time we played and it was more like a regular club. It was literally just a hole in the wall. It was downtown, a tiny old place, but that was pretty great. And then the other places we played, I can't really got to think about it. Anyway, get back on to you, man.
No, that's so cool.
So with Tuck, you know, was pushing it to, you know, think outside the box. I don't know if we use that term, but to expand, you know, try and get, make the most dynamic possible is what you had said.
Now,
he's on this, he plays keyboards on the cut, right? Down That Road.
He played kind of, I guess it was like we were going for that like glockenspiel sound that we hear in songs that we like Bonzo Goes to Bitburg and a lot of those classic 80s Ramones songs. Yeah. And we were like, man, let's try this for fun. You know what I mean? And when it was in the mix, it just sounded awesome. So we kept it in there and we added a lot of cool stuff. It was fun. We had a great time down there. Trying things. We had lots of time to work on stuff and it came out great.
And you made a video for this tune. You also have a video for the prior single, Nasty Night.
Yeah.
Do you like making videos or is that more like a necessary chore?
I love it. I've always made videos for stuff, just not necessarily music videos, but I've always loved film and, you know, especially horror movies and stuff like that. And it's just a cool thing to be able to do that. And so easy nowadays too, because, you know, everybody has iPhones and stuff. That the Down That Road video, I shot it with an iPhone in our practice space and edited it myself on the computer just to see if I could do it. And I was pretty happy with the results.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So the I was going to ask you here, the single and the upcoming album, Badlands, the upcoming album, Badlands. So that album is due out in the
September.
Fall, like in September.
Yeah,
September,
early September.
And it's on Spaghetti Town Records.
Yes.
So how did you hooked up with them? Where are they from?
They're from Atlanta. And just through an Atlanta connection from going down there a lot with Biters, and Ravagers has played down there plenty of times before Matt was in the band. And we got to know Teddy Spaghetti, who runs the label. I was begging him, hey man, can you please put out our next single? And he was like, we'll see. All right, cool. And I sent him the tracks and he liked them. So we put out our last single. That was when Matt first joined the band, 2018, Drowning in Blood. And that came out and got a pretty good response. We sold them all. And then it was time to make a full record. I felt like we had only released EPs in the past. So
right. I saw that.
Yeah. We had two EPs, Living in Oblivion and Natural Instinct, that came out on a Portland label in 2015.
So remind me, when you finished the album, this was, you mentioned recording it last March. So were all the sessions finished and then the pandemic, you know, everything started shutting down? Is that what happened?
So we recorded the record in two separate sessions. We recorded five songs the first time and five songs the second time. And the first session was right at the beginning of the pandemic when we headed down there. And we've pretty much finished all the songs and we were going to release a single and tour for the single to kind of raise money for the second studio session to finish the full length. And then the single never came out because the pandemic lasted so long, and I had already sat down, started writing the second batch of songs, which I was like, oh, I like these songs so much more than the first batch, but they're all good. You know what I mean? But I was more attracted to the newer songs that I was writing. So I kind of wanted to release those instead of some of the last ones. And,
So when was the second session?
The second session was, we finished that, the rest of the album, in October, and we had to go down to Atlanta during the pandemic, and we all had masks on, like double masks on, and we were super paranoid. And when we got down there, we went straight to a test center at a church, and we got tested so we wouldn't have to wear masks in the studio. And we all came out negative, thank God. And we pretty much just lived in the studio and an Airbnb that was like right next to it. And we didn't go anywhere. We didn't hang out with anyone besides Tuck and Dan Dixon. We just stayed in our bubble and finished the album.
Well, tell me some about Dan Dixon, because I don't know a whole lot about him. He engineered the record. And was this his studio you were at?
It sure was, yeah. Built into a garage in the back of his house. And he's worked with Tuck on the Wildlife records and Tuck's albums. So he just has a good idea of what sound we're going for. And he knew how to make it happen. And he rules.
I'm going to have to go back and look at the Wildlife records, because we're big fans of theirs here in the Underground Garage. And
absolutely.
So the album's going to come out. Badlands comes out in September. Any touring then? What do you think?
We are playing a fest in Denver called the Rocker Mountain Ripper. And we're playing with Wildlife, Dirty Fences, Rambler, lots of cool bands out there. So we're excited for that. We're also going to do a couple East Coast dates that are in the mix right now. They're getting booked with Tuck's new band. So
is that the Restless Hearts?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We're planning on playing Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're going to have to wrap it up here in a moment. In fact, we'll go out with a single that came out back in October, Nasty Night.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something about that track? What's its story?
Ooh, Nasty Night. Yeah. That song's kind of about
more trouble in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's sure thing. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's about getting mixed up in the wrong situations and waking up somewhere where you're not sure where you're at. And it's about a nasty night, and you just have that feeling in your gut and you don't know what it is, but It's not good.
Well, Alex, thanks again for chatting with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Hey, my pleasure, man. It's been awesome.
All right, let's take a listen to that earlier single of yours. Here's Nasty Night, came out last October. It's the Ravagers and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Nasty Night from the Ravagers here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. That track is a single that came out last October, and it's available from Spaghetti Town Records. It's off the band's upcoming album, Badlands, and that's due out this September. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Alex Hagen, the band's lead singer and rhythm guitarist, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Be sure and join me next time around for your Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.